go home episode of Dynamite. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Adelaide, it is the Dynamite before Full Gear.
That it is. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I've been waiting for this Full Gear for 2 years.
I don't know if I've been waiting for it.
I have been waiting for this Full Gear for 2 years. I am super excited.
So is that your what I like about this week?
I think the excitement level setting up for what's going to happen next is what I like about this week.
Okay.
Definitely true.
Okay.
And you, what do you like this week?
Well, today is Mommy Adelaide's birthday.
Oh, your mom, the last episode mom.
I don't know if they know that or not.
Well, obviously, if you're counting along, you'll know that there's a missing episode. It's just because we sounded terrible. I think I've said this before, which is why we have never released it. And we're probably not gonna, because it did not sound good.
Right. Mommy Adelaide was on that one.
Right. I may just do a whole bunch of sound effects and just do it. But it'll be like a 20-minute episode of all the good stuff. There wasn't that much. All right. Let's talk about this. My name is Javier Augusto. Adelaide Loria is with me as always.
Hello, everyone.
This is We Like What We Like. We're going to see what happens next, and we're going to come back and let you know.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Mommy Adelaide.
Happy birthday, Mommy Adelaide. First match, Bryan Danielson versus Rocky Romero.
Pretty exciting.
Last episode, I think I talked about how exciting it was and all of the different matches I'm getting to see. I love Rocky Romero. He is a hard-nosed Japanese strong-style wrestler who is very technical. So he is on that level, that Bryan Danielson level.
I saw that for sure.
And it's always good to watch. So I'm going to jump right in with the thing I liked. First thing I liked.
Okay.
I was not paying attention to Twitter today. Now, Adelaide, you were paying attention to Twitter today.
I was.
So you saw something that I heard about on the show, which is immediately made it the thing I liked for the week.
And I didn't even know what it meant.
And that is that Orange Cassidy, now I believe the Best Friends as well, but definitely Orange Cassidy has been invited to join the Chaos faction in New Japan.
Yes.
That is epic. You've got a U.S. comedy wrestler. He was in Jakara. He was in PWG. He was in a lot of different companies. And Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker. It is the height of honor for a wrestler at his level to invite Orange Cassidy to join his faction. The second biggest faction in New Japan. Mm-hmm. Of course, number one being the Bullet Club, because it's the Bullet Club. But Chaos is huge. It's just amazing. It's sure. Amazing. Okay, what did you like? What's the one thing you liked?
Well, I liked the respect at the beginning of the match, both with the handshake and with the holds back and forth between the two wrestlers. I thought that was it was interesting to watch. I know Bryan Danielson is a very technical wrestler, but it was interesting to watch him wrestle with someone who's also very technical. So it was both of them in and out of different holds that I will not even attempt to try to name.
There were some really good holds. Obviously, Rocky Romero started and went after that Juju Katami really quickly, which is the arm bar, just a standard arm bar. He went after that one right away. Danielson, of course, got to the ropes. There was a whole lot of that back and forth, which is what I'm going to say is my second like of this match, is how creative they both were. There were moves I've seen before, obviously. These move sets are not entirely new to me. However, Rocky Romero, not a guy I've gotten to see very often, not a guy that I've gotten to really witness. I've seen some of his matches in New Japan, and I've enjoyed them. His junior heavyweight run and all that, I enjoyed that. However, to watch him against Bryan Danielson in this day and age, when both of them have sort of evolved so far, I mean, they haven't seen each other in the ring, I think, since 2005 or 2006. So it's this big step forward in both of their careers, and they're both wrestling some of the best matches you could possibly wrestle. For example, Bryan Danielson has had with this match 11 matches at AEW.
Mm-hmm.
He had 19 matches in the rest of 2021, including lighter, you know, 3-4 minute matches and stuff like that, tag matches at WWE. He's had 30 matches so far this year, and one half of them, like half of the big chunk or a third of them, have been at AEW
in the last 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
That's spectacular. That's absolutely spectacular.
Absolutely.
Yeah, creativity. I apologize if I didn't clear that up. The creativity. You know, you've got Rocky Romero doing a second rope, a springboard, a shotgun drop kick on a with Bryan Danielson draped over the second rope. I loved it. It's just really, really clever stuff.
Yeah. I guess the second thing that I would say would be the chops and the knee kicks plus the kicks that...
Do you have to do it every episode?
It's what it is.
That's not a thing.
I bet you if someone would write us and let us know, when I say kicks and knee kicks, you picture in your head, oh, you got kicked by the foot or you got kicked by the knee. There's two different kicks.
Be kicked by a knee.
Sure you can. Anyways. No. You can see that Brian was getting, you know, frustrated, like, the last match that he had where he gets ramped up a little bit more and then he like starts to just, you know, attack, and he attacked with the chops and the kicks, both knee and regular kicks.
My goodness. Look, I don't disagree with you on
so
that.
So it was a chop and a kick and a chop and a kick, and it was good. And then when he was done, like he did it a couple of times. When he was done, he backed up and Rocky like crumbled to the ground. But Rocky looked up and like waved him over with this like limp wave. Like, that's all you got? Well, I thought that was pretty cool.
That's true. And that's the thing, is that they're both sort of hard ass fighters. Yeah, they're technical wrestlers, but they're hard asses. They're strong style fighters. They go. Now, it's the end of the match, and the third act of this match involves a great deal of counter wrestling. It is one guy doing his technical stuff and the other one. And just like last week when we talked about this,
mm-hmm.
how Bryan Danielson will ramp up and just take the rest of the match and be like, oh, it was nice seeing you, kid. I'm going to put you away now. With Rocky Romero, he wasn't able to do that because
mm-hmm.
Rocky's on his level. So it was, you weren't ready for me to go after you, but Rocky was ready. He countered moves that were hard to counter. He did something that a lot of good technical wrestlers have done in the past. Go for your offense. Don't just try and counter their offense. Go for your offense. Let them work against you. I thought it was brilliant. That's my third like, is how great the counter wrestling was at the end. Even when Danielson goes for the lapel lock, he tries to go for it. Rocky starts to counter the lapel lock, so he immediately goes for a move which Excalibur said the name of, but I didn't hear, something sunrise. I think he was saying the tequila sunrise, but I don't think it was what he said. And he did pull it. It looked like a very aggressive version of the tequila sunrise. It was great. I love the way that ended. Rocky Romero had to tap because of it. It was fantastic. Your third like?
It goes with yours, actually. I like that every technical hold or move they were trying to do on each other had a reverse or a something that blocked it, and then they would go into their own. It was like offense, defense. It was like a dance for wrestlers, and I know I've said that before, but this one was like a technical dance and not so much the high-flying dance that I usually talk about. It was very good, with honorable mention to that table looking hold thing. I don't know what it was called.
Oh, the Romero special.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it's like a surfboard stretch, but it's set up differently. But yeah, the Romero
special.
That was cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. He tried to set up a dragon sleeper in it. It's that. Yeah,
that's what something. He said.
Yeah, so all in all, good match. Liked it.
Yeah.
A good way to start the go home episode of Dynamite, which the go home episode for Full Gear on Dynamite, which the commentators put over often about Danielson having to go up against Miro in the Eliminator Tournament on Tournament. Did I just say Tournament?
In Tournament.
Fantastic. Miro and Danielson's going. Danielson's? Wow, I'm just off. Miro and Danielson going against each other in the Eliminator Tournament on Full Gear because it is the finals of the tournament, and these two, A, have not faced each other, and B, it's a lot for Danielson to put up with after having such a competitive match just 4 days before it.
Well, it's good storytelling, because now it sets up in your mind, if you thought, okay, Brian's obviously going to win, now it sets in your mind, like, wait, are they setting us up so it's okay if Miro wins? So who's going to win?
I will say that I personally think it is okay if Miro wins.
Oh, well, we all know what I think.
Yes, we all know what you think. And I'm going to say that not only do I not have a problem with Miro winning, I think that it would be great to see Miro sort of step over Danielson and have Danielson have to go, all right, maybe I have to think smarter about the way they take these guys out. However, if Danielson wins, fine. Good narrative, good storytelling. I don't think he wins the championship off of Hangman Page if Hangman wins.
I don't think he wins, no matter who wins that. I think being in the running is good enough, to be honest.
Well, he is a WWE guy. He's not homegrown talent. I think it might be a little early for him. I think it might need a few more months before
he puts him in the championship. I don't know if it's early for him. I think he's done his due time. I think he's...
Well, he's definitely a talented wrestler that people respect.
Yeah.
It's not a Brody Lee situation where you just, you know, it's a guy that got underutilized and you knew was worth more, so you let him have the TNT title. It's not like that. However, well, we'll see. We'll let it play out. What's my favorite phrase? We'll just let it play out. We'll see what happens. Sure. All right, so go ahead and say it.
I'm waiting for you to say it.
We're going to see what comes next, and we're going to let you guys know.
Perfect.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God. Alrighty, so this is We Like What We Like, right?
It is We Like What We Like, yes. Okay,
so I get to also, the adverse would be true.
Do you want to be the one that says the negative thing first?
So this was, Tony Schiavone was in the middle of the ring waiting for the Inner Circle to come down.
Correct.
So the Inner Circle was all there, every member of it.
Yes, Santana, Ortiz, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, the one and only Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm. So they were at the top of the ramp on stage.
Yes.
And they stood there for a little bit, like soaking in Judas, as you do.
Yep.
So they slowly start walking down the ramp, and who should come out?
Well, they had a sneak attack, which is my only like of this segment, which is the sneak attack from American Top Team and the Men of the Year with Dan Lambert.
Yeah, I hated it.
Hated it?
Hated it. Was bored. I don't care.
Really?
Yep, didn't care.
But I thought they got you back last week with this build.
They did. So leave it at that.
You have to have a final... It's a street fight. You have to set it up.
I hated it. It was stupid.
Okay, well, tell us what you didn't like thing. I mean, it couldn't have been the whole thing.
Yeah, I hated the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh.
You know what I liked about it? I'll tell you what I liked about it.
Go.
The crowd.
Okay, fair enough.
I got you suck chant.
Yes.
I got fat face dipshit chant.
Correct.
And I got asshole chant.
Yes, the crowd knew.
At the appropriate moments.
Yes, the crowd did know exactly what to do, when to do it.
Yes, they were awesome. Good job. That's it. That's all I got.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have one negative because, I mean, I like promos, but with the big brawl promos and you have people that are not experienced in wrestling and setting up for the camera, there's two ways MMA guys come into pro wrestling. They hurt the guy they're going up against in pro wrestling because they make it look too real, end up breaking a bone or rupturing an eye socket or shattering a nose, or they do what Dalton Rasta did, which is send the slowest looking elbow drops ever. It just, you could have made a little faster contact. Jericho would have been fine. You weren't going to break his arm just by touching him fast. Regardless, I mean, at least he made contact. It just looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, if this is the norm, this is what you're supposed to do before a street brawl or whatever.
You really have to set it up with a brawl. You have to have some type of brawl.
Then let's find another way to do it. Because that was just not...
Well, it teases what's about to happen.
I understand. I understand. I just did not... Yeah, I didn't like it.
All right, well, let's talk about something positive then. After this...
I did. The crowd.
The crowd was great. No, I'm not taking that back. The crowd was great, so I agree with you on that.
Right.
The fact that it was a good tease And it started as a good tease, was an immediate like. I wrote it down. Oh, I like the sneak attack. I like that they did it so quickly, yada, yada. And then the segment went long.
But did they do it quickly? That's what I was trying to say. Like, they're up on the stage, and then they were slowly walking down the ramp. They usually are not that slow. So, like I said last week, if you're going to do what you usually do, do it in the normal pace. Please don't set it up like we're idiots going, oh, I don't know. I just walk, let them come out. Just walk down the ramp. This isn't rocket science. Have them come out earlier, faster. I don't know.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. There are ways to set this up better, and we've both seen it better.
Yes. Well, I don't even know if I've seen it better.
I definitely have.
I'm more, because we're doing this podcast and because I am a storyteller, I'm more paying attention to what I'm watching to give our listeners what I like.
Right. Exactly.
So when I see things that I just not a fan of, as you know, that's where my head went at.
All right. Fair enough. Let's talk about the women's match that came after.
Sure.
Now you've got a trios match. You've got Dr. Britt Baker.
DMD.
You've got Rebel and Jamie Hayter out with her.
Yep.
And then you've got Anna Jay and Ty Conti as a female tag team, Ty Jay. Mm-hmm. And Thunder Rosa is their partner.
Correct.
I thought it was a decent match.
Me too.
I thought that it was a little... Unfortunately showed sort of the greenness of Anna Jay in this, and she was the only one. Her and Rebel got pretty exposed as far as being
Rebel. I thought Jamie Hayter.
I didn't see that. I thought that Jamie Hayter was taking it. You're right. Jamie Hayter looked like she was taking it easy, so it didn't make her look good.
Right.
She was taking steps to be protective of people. I don't think she should have been that. These are professional wrestlers. They can take a bump. You know, I don't think you need to be the one to protect anyone. I think Jamie Hayter was playing it soft.
I think Jamie Hayter is the big girl, and I don't mean that, and she's fat, but she is large and thick, two C's.
She is the muscular one, yes, definitely.
So I think that she just doesn't, I don't, maybe she doesn't know how to handle them yet.
She's been doing Joshi for a while. She wrestles much smaller women than these and blasts them. Yeah, but
they're all Joshi wrestlers, though. So
again, she has to start thinking that same thing. I think that she was trying to protect people, you know, mother hen people. And unfortunately, I think she stopped short of being effective in the match
because of it. What was your like? What was your first like?
Rebel being so aggressive.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved how aggressive Rebel came out from the very beginning, wrestling well, getting the beginning of the offense against Thunder Rosa. Awesome. Yes, she's supposed to be the less good wrestler, but she does have years of experience and she wrestled well.
Yeah, mine actually goes right there with you. I'm going to do a twofer. I really liked that Anna Jay, Ty Conti, and Thunder Rosa all matched their outfits.
You know what? It's girly, but it's a women's match, so that makes perfect sense.
And then I did put down here, like, underneath it, Rebel breaking out with her intensity, because she's the comic relief.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You're absolutely right about that.
I really did like the intensity she just came out with. Was amazing.
Yeah, I like that. Whoever decided to put this together and set those particular storyline beats together, I like that a lot. I thought Rebel being so aggressive was good. I felt that Jamie Hayter, unfortunately, not being as aggressive as I've seen her in other matches, was bad. I thought Thunder Rosa did her job. Unfortunately, Thunder Rosa is like Okada. And I don't mean in the quality of wrestling. I mean in the way that she sets up the story in the match. It's very slow to begin with. Then it builds. And then it's fever pitch and the pin. We didn't get that because obviously there's six women in this match. They had the classic everybody was down spot, which was good. It was good. It didn't look bad. It didn't look forced.
So was that your second and your third?
Second, like, honestly, was how aggressive everyone was. Like, even though Jamie Hayter wasn't as aggressive as she should have been, I'm going to take that one down. But all other five people just pushed really hard to make it look really intense.
So my second one was when Anna Jay was being destroyed in the bad corner by Jamie Hayter in the ring. Mm-hmm. And then you had Britt Baker and Rebel on the outside, and all three of them were looking at the camera and they were like taking selfies as like the Mean Girls. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was good stuff.
It was like, it plays into who they are.
Yeah, the way that it's been set up. Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Go ahead. So what's your third?
Didn't really have a third, like, unfortunately, because I was looking forward, and I guess I could have found one, but I was looking so forward because I enjoy Jamie Hayter matches so much that I was looking forward to more from her, and it just, it actually sucked me out of it.
So my thing is, I do have a third, and for me, I don't think that the women have the experience with the multiple tag partners, so I'm not used to seeing three women in AEW. As often as I do for men, the multiple tag partners in the ring at the same time. But I do have to give them credit. There were a lot of quick exchanges for all six of the women.
Correct.
They all kind of picked up on there are a few miscues, but I can forgive those.
Well, that was all in the beginning of the match. Like I said, that was all in the beginning of the match where it sort of slow rolled and people were trying to figure out where they were and their greenness. Unfortunately, the ones with the least amount of experience are the ones that showed the most. This was Anna Jay and unfortunately Rebel not really having the experience inside of a multi-person match.
Yeah, so this was really a showcase, to be honest, for Ty Conti because she's the one against Britt Baker. So she got the big in the middle.
She got the hot tags.
Right, and then she was also the one that won the whole match against Rebel.
Yeah, she took it. Rebel took the pin.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Ty Conti, which is fine. It totally works completely. It sets up Full Gear. Hopefully, this is the one step, and I'm going to say it's not even a full step. I'm going to say it's a half step back, the way that the women's division has really been progressing in the last few weeks. And I've loved this TBS tournament and the way they've been setting it up. I hope that the match that we have with Ty Conti and Britt Baker keeps this momentum going.
Well, isn't it also going to be, I know it's Ty Conti and Britt Baker, but it's also Jamie Hayter and... Thunder Rosa.
I don't know that they're at Full Gear. I believe they might be at Rampage. Or is that Red Velvet and...
Red Velvet and
Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill.
You know what? We're gonna do a little bit more. We're not going to declare it. But it might be Full Gear for Thunder Rosa and Jamie
Hayter. So that's
Hayter.
Two... If that's true, that that's two women's matches. And I think they're going to be two good women's matches.
One, Thunder Rosa is an amazing wrestler.
Yes.
And... Believe me, I know it's hard for some people, but believe me when I tell you, Jamie Hayter has wrestled her A off in the past. She has put together some of my really favorite Joshi matches. No, not top 10, but good.
I don't know anything about that. So, and then finally, the last promo was the, they did it again. They did an amazing face promo with Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander.
Correct.
It was two faces being faces.
Right. And my like for that is going to be, I think Statlander is going to need a little personality change for the way she delivers the line because I think she's having fun with it too much. I think it needs to be a little bit less tongue in cheek a little less self-effacing and a little bit more, I'm thinking of this seriously, even though it's a joke.
No, I don't think you picked up on it, to be honest, because the first one was like, yeah, I'm already your leader. And then the next one was like a little bit more, hi, I'm going to be your leader.
Right. But it was the way she delivered that seemed a little self-effacing. I really wanted a little bit more. Yes, it's a joke, but the punchline could be delivered
more
seriously.
She's wearing green face. She's so tongue in cheek about this whole thing.
I don't disagree. I think that, and they both wrestle well. So I can't wait to see that.
Is
that a Full Gear?
I think
that's a Full Gear. So that's three women's matches
if we're correct.
If we're correct. If not, I'm pretty sure Ruby Soho versus Chris Statlander is at Full Gear.
If you think about it, though, that's four women's matches they're setting up for the next two programs. It's
definitely
either Rampage.
True.
Well done. You guys are getting better. And which I think will only improve the women's wrestling.
Correct.
So.
Correct. So I would like to see what happens next and then get back to everybody. What do you say?
Yeah, man.
If they keep giving me all of this fun stuff, I'm going to probably need to get myself drunk just to keep up.
I don't think that works.
No, it's a lot.
Okay.
They're giving me a lot of fun stuff. Let's get into the match first. We got Jungle Boy versus Anthony Bowens.
We
of
did.
The Acclaimed. It was a better match than anybody else would have allowed it to be, in my opinion. I think AEW lets these young guys really go. And the fans, the audience, yes, Jungle Boy's a guy that's only been on TV for a couple of years. He's super over with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Bowens isn't a guy that's getting ignored by the fans. He gets his boo chant, which means people acknowledge that he exists.
Yes.
Then you've got Max Caster coming out with him because, you know, the Acclaimed have to do their rap before the match.
Mm-hmm.
That sets up the entire psychology of how this match is going to go. The heels versus the babyface. My first like. Bowens coming in there like a wrecking ball, trying to beat up Jungle Boy before he can get his offense in. What about you, first like?
My first like was I was thinking, boy, Jungle Boy is like really aggressive right now. I'm not used to that. And the moment I started thinking that, the commentators started to mention how in the last couple weeks, Jungle Boy's aggressiveness has increased. So I was like, oh, look at that. So I was picking up what they were trying to present to me, and I thought it was great wrestling, but I was more proud of myself.
Okay, well, you know what? Pat yourself on the back for that because you deserve it. But the reality is that you are observant, and obviously they're doing a good job of storytelling as far as Jungle Boy is concerned.
Yes.
Because they're giving you what you maybe weren't predicting, but you can observe.
Yes.
So yep. I agree with you. That is actually really cool. He was very aggressive, which leads me to my second point. Again, I'm going back to giving Anthony Bowens the love, but they went into picture-in-picture, which is something that I've said with good matches. You go into picture-in-picture, it takes me out of the match. I don't enjoy it as much. However, the action continued solidly. There weren't a bunch of rest holes. It wasn't a bunch of playing to the crowd. They were going at it the entire time in picture-in-picture. And they were, and I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to keep sounding like it, they were very creative.
Yes. Yeah, mine was actually before they went to picture-in-picture. Jungle Boy, it's funny because you're doing Bowens and I'm doing Jungle Boy, and it's not really how we set that up.
No, it wasn't on purpose.
So it's very interesting. Honest to God, we did not talk about this.
No.
But before we went to picture-in-picture, Jungle Boy did flippy-flippy stuff off the ropes.
his springboard arm drag that he does.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then some pretty intense chops around the ring, like he'd chop and then move him and chop him again and move him. And I thought that was pretty impressive. And then at the end of it, before they went to picture-in-picture, Bowens was getting the upper hand and he was about to slam into Jungle Boy as he's in the corner, but Jungle Boy moved. And this wasn't a good thing for Jungle Boy because Bowens caught him mid escape through the ropes, which I loved. I loved that there was offense to the defense before it got to play out. Like, I've done my homework and I know what you're about to do and I'm going to catch you.
It actually, yeah, you're absolutely. Again, I love the way you're observing this because you're really getting, like, I could go into a match and just dissect it and, oh, this is what they did. Honestly, you're seeing exactly what I saw, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's good to see it with another person. They get what I get. So that's another like for me. Thank you, Adelaide.
You're welcome. What was your third then for the match?
Well, when we came back from picture-in-picture, we had a very interesting or very intense near fall where Bowens looked like he could have gotten the win there due to his draping through the ropes, sort of DDT that he does.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool move. Really creative, really aggressive looking. Looks like a bad guy move. It's great. Jungle Boy kicks out at 2.8. It looked great. It was a fantastic near fall. It could have gone either way. It was really, really, really good that way.
Right. My final one would be how tough and exhausted they both were by the end of the match. And you could tell that they had, like, both fought throughout the entire match. But then Jungle Boy puts Bowens in a snare trap.
Perfect.
Am I right?
You were absolutely correct.
I didn't even write that down.
You did a good job.
A snare trap. It must sound like I know what I'm talking about. And then, and he's holding on to him for dear life because he wants him. He wants Bowens to tap, and Bowens keeps trying to reach for Max Caster's outside of the ring. But then, like, Jungle Boy flips off Max Caster while still holding the hold, and eventually Bowens taps. So Jungle Boy won, which I thought was very good. I was very entertained by that whole thing.
I definitely was as well. That was actually a really good spot there at the end. They're just so exhausted and he gets that snare trap.
Yeah.
Now, after the match, we're going to go ahead and mention that I actually liked this. Is Bobby Fish doing a run-in as the Acclaimed are leaving the ring, you know, the losing group. Bobby Fish comes in, Jungle Boy's on the second turnbuckle, sort of cheering to the crowd. He runs in, kicks Jungle Boy in the back of the leg, so he falls down, holding him in a clinch, doing body knees, and then he kicks him in the head, right?
Mm.
Or no, he just bulls into him.
Yeah.
Then he hits him with a move. That was great. Of course, Luchasaurus Cage and Christian Cage come out to make the save. Bobby Fish runs out, runs around, and leaves. While talking trash, Luchasaurus is talking trash to him, saying, get back here. But he just walks his way or backs his way up the ramp and leaves. I thought it was a very good spot. Now, yes, Bobby Fish and Jungle Boy do not have any kind of heat really set up.
Right. So I was curious why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, in my head, I immediately said, well, man, he is friends with Adam Cole. And Adam Cole hates Jungle Boy right now. So this could be a good setup if they wanted to bring Bobby Fish in. And what do you know? You got a promo right after that. You got a video promo. You get Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Hangman Page saying that this is the most important match of his life at Full Gear, where they're going to face off for the World Championship,
right.
The AEW Championship.
Right, because he watched Omega win his championship, and he watched his friends at the time when their title,
the Young Bucks win the tag time. Yep, the tag titles. Yeah.
So he's like, now it's my time. So.
Right. And then Kenny Omega, you know, does the heel line. I don't lose big matches. You always lose big matches, Adam. I personally, that narrative does not need a pull apart brawl. However, on the main event segment, we are going to get a contract signing. So we'll see what happens. I personally don't think it needs any type of brawl or anything. I think that this is setting up really, really well.
I'm going to put this out there. I think Hangman Page is going to win at Full Gear.
I do not.
And B, if they do a pull apart brawl tonight, I'm going to be upset. I don't think it needs it.
I agree with you that it doesn't need it. I think this narrative has been set up properly without it.
And I think it does a disservice to the pull apart brawl that happened just last week with CM Punk and
Eddie Kingston. Agreed. Now you've got the Young Bucks with Adam Cole talking to Brandon Cutler. Hey, are you recording?
Mm-hmm.
Very heelish. And then we get Adam Cole saying, you know what? Known this guy for a long time. My friends, the Young Bucks. Let me introduce you to Bobby Fish.
Right. And the Young Bucks are like, yeah, we know Bobby Fish, but let's just get this straight. It's not about you. I forgot what it was called. Undisputed?
He said, here at AEW, I know you're the new guy here, but here at AEW, Matt Jackson is saying this, there is no dispute.
Right.
This is all elite.
Right. And then they pretty much just set up a match for Bobby Fish versus Jungle Boy on Rampage the night before Full Gear, because they want Bobby Fish to just F him up.
To soften him up. Whether he wins or loses, it doesn't matter, just as long as he softens him up.
Because they have a match, the Young Bucks and Jurassic Express.
Yeah, the Super Click have a match with Jurassic Express and Christian Cage.
Yeah.
Absolutely. After that, we got a video promo, Eddie Kingston, CM Punk, but this wasn't Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk. This was people talking, Taz and JR and Shivani talking about CM Punk and Eddie Kingston and how their history goes.
Right. And then snippets of the The promo from last week.
And the promo from last week, which was, I mean, I loved that promo. Probably one of the best promos ever, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
History of all of wrestling.
Right.
Now, it still holds up. Even clipped together, it's still holding up.
Right.
After that, and I'm still excited for that match. I was excited for that match. I didn't need a video recap promo.
Like, it was short. It was just to remind us, and I didn't mind.
No, I didn't think it wasn't harmful in any way. I didn't think it took away from it, but I'm still so hyped for that match that I don't need it.
Right. It just gave a little extra flavor, if you will, mm-hmm. to the meal that they were already presenting to us. Someone put a little dash of salt on there and said, all right, let's go.
And this is where it keeps going, where they just keep giving us good stuff. Now we've got Wardlow versus Wheeler Yuta.
Okay. Let me just say something real quick.
Go.
Hashtag free Wardlow.
Hashtag free Wardlow 2022.
Yeah, man.
All right. So Wardlow versus Wheeler Yuta happened. Now, I immediately thought, and we even had a quick back and forth on this before the match, I don't think it's going to be a squash match. I think they're probably going to let Wheeler Yuta wrestle a bit and show off.
Who said that?
You did, actually.
No.
No, I did?
Yes.
Yeah, I did that. I said
this is going to be a quick match.
And I said, well, I don't think it's going to be a squash because I think they're going to let Wheeler Yuta wrestle a little bit and show off. He's a very talented wrestler.
And I said, well, I don't know about a squash match, but it's definitely going to be a quick match.
Yeah, it was a squash match. Wardlow beat Wheeler Yuta. Wheeler Yuta just came at him, and he came at him, and he came at him, and he came at him. And what looked like a botch might have been planned.
Oh, it's totally planned.
And he misses Wardlow, and Wardlow wrecks him for the next 2 minutes.
Are you saying because it was so fast, you don't have three things you liked?
I liked that it was Wardlow just wrecking shop and looking like he's an opportunist. I like that. Outside of that, no, there's not three likes. It's a squash match. It was a minute and a half match.
I totally have three likes, so I'll take over.
Please.
I'm going to go over my three likes.
I'm going to be surprised to hear this, actually.
All three of my likes?
Go.
All right. My first like was in the very beginning, Wheeler Yuta like does a kick into Wardlow's chest. What do you call that? A jumping?
It's called a drop kick.
A drop kick. And like Wardlow like takes his hand and like moves his feet like it's a bug. And like Wheeler Yuta just like falls to the ground. Like it didn't. It was just hot. Like, get out of here, bug. Like you're squat, like you're scooshing a little like mosquito. And then the second thing I liked was Wardlow, once he took control of the match, he would body slam Wheeler to the mat. And then he would stand in the ring and like give this weird, crazy, like, I'm going to destroy this kid. And for no reason, like there's no beef between them.
None.
So I really liked his selling of him just becoming a monster, out of control. Like, I'm the best. I'm going to prove it to people that I'm the best. And then, the third one was at the very end where he holds up Wheeler Yuta with one arm, just holds him up and then gives like a thumbs up sign to the crowd for like 30 seconds and then drops him on his knee. And then that was the end of the match.
Yeah, that's the Casualty of War is the name of that move. He's got him in the top turnbuckle. Normally he will hold them up and then, you know, he doesn't hold them up as long as he did.
Yeah, he held him up.
And then he gives a thumbs up, then he turns it to a thumbs down for here comes the Casualty. Yeah. He hit the Casualty of War, then he pulled him out of the corner and that was pretty much it. That was the pin.
It was awesome. Hashtag free Wardlow.
It was a squash match. It was very intense. I look forward to seeing Wardlow versus, I don't know if it's MJF or Sean Spears. I don't know who I want him to face first. I think he'll probably face Sean Spears first.
You have to go through.
You're right. You've got to go
the centuries
this.
Before you get to the master.
It's true. And I agree with that. Although I just don't think Sean Spears has gotten enough wins. I need more wins on Sean Spears. He does need a push. He deserves a push. He's a good guy. Then we have an after-match angle as Wardlow leaves the victor. And Wheeler Yuta is being consoled by Orange Cassidy and Chuck Taylor, which have, yes, the best friends. Every one of them is in chaos now, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Hardy Family Office comes into the ring. Blade and Isaiah Cassidy. The Blade and Isaiah Cassidy just start hitting Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. And they start beating their asses. Matt Hardy, who's been ringside all night, comes into the ring. After Orange Cassidy's down, he hits him with a chair in the stomach. Puts the chair around his neck and then gives him a twist of fate with the chair.
Yeah.
Which Orange Cassidy is selling like he ruptured his collarbones and his neck. It was great.
It was good. And because he's so pale, his face turns bright red. It really looked like he was suffering.
Yeah, it was very intense. So I will say this. I enjoyed that after the match angle. Actually, they're after the match angles tonight. I have no problem with it all.
That one was the best one.
Fair enough. All right, so let's see what happens next. And then get back to them.
Yeah, man.
That's you guys. We're going to get back to you. Adelaide, I apologize. I'm going to say something I've said basically every episode.
That I'm awesome?
I mean, no, I don't actually say that in every episode. I say, oh, good Lord, please stop messing with me.
Oh, see, I always hear you are awesome.
Yeah, you and I do not hear the same. However, I am going to say, wow. Because wow, though. Now, this opens up with a pull-apart segment with Eddie Kingston and CM Punk in the parking lot area. And you've got security and Ruby Soho and the Nightmare Family just holding back. I'm sorry, the Nightmare Family holding back CM Punk. And then you got security and Ruby Soho. A couple other people holding back Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, it was hard to tell who was doing. It was just, we entered into a melee. It wasn't like we entered in and then it got started. It was already started.
Right. They were being pulled apart as the segment goes. It was good. It sets up. I mean, I didn't need this to hype me for the match at Full Gear. But they didn't show them brawling. They did show Eddie Kingston running. Surprise. Very surprised. But it was great.
Not just running, like escaping from people that were holding him back to run at CM Punk. And then they caught him halfway.
Yeah, and had to run him into the trunk of a car to stop him. So I'm going to tell you right now, it looks very real. And it's good.
Yeah, like I said, though, it might not be what... We didn't need it. There's like they served us a dish and they go, oh, hold on a second. And then seasoned it with some salt and pepper. And
that's said, here yeah, you that's, go. That's how you season stuff.
Enjoy.
That's definitely how you season stuff.
Not everybody uses salt and pepper.
Gross. So gross.
I don't know what's gross.
You
know, about
there's,
that.
There's, you have to use salt to season everything. Even ice cream has salt in it. So it's the most ridiculous thing in the world to not season with salt. But let's move on. Let's move on.
Tangent.
That's not what I meant by wow, though. I just said that because it needed to be covered. Because we would be doing a disservice to our fans if we did not cover it. However, the wow came from what happened right after that, which was...
Oh, that was my boy, Dante Martin, with his partner, Leo Rush. Versus Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty, which was the first time I got to see Lee Moriarty wrestle. I've seen Leo Rush wrestle before when he was with WWE and like once on AEW, like a while back ago before he quote unquote retired. I was reintroduced.
Yeah. I'm going to jump into my like, and I'm just going to go ahead and say my first like is Leo Rush. Actually, I'm sorry. Dante Martin and Lee Moriarty going through this pinning combination at the very beginning of the match. It's not like a what you call the roly-poly roll-up. They're legitimately countering with slams and strikes and movement. And there's a lot going on with these pinning combination counters. And it was great. And they did it in the beginning of the match because they both understood the other person was good. So if we can just get a quick pin, it's over.
Right.
Fantastic. Really, really fantastic.
I'm going to cheat again and put two into one.
Please do. This match had so much stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if you're trying to put it all into one.
It was first of all, amazing from beginning to end. Not gonna lie, it was. But I really like the timed and choreographed entrance into the ring from Lio Rush and Dante Martin.
Yeah, it was smooth. It was a very smooth entrance.
But my first one was after what you just described with the whole back and forth and the all like maybe 2 or 3 minutes of that.
It was 45 seconds. It just felt like a long time.
Oh, boy. They both stopped and did like a superhero stance to like reevaluate who they were with.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So that's good. Again, it was a good opening to the match. Now, right before we went in, no, right after that, we went into picture-in-picture, which not my favorite thing ever, especially with such a good match. But I'm watching picture-in-picture just to see all of these good moves. Right, Lee Moriarty put Dante Martin in some type of a stretch, an abdominal stretch, but he was doing it across his back, so it was sort of like a rack stretch. Really, really cool. Not one of my likes, however, although I probably should have mentioned it. It's when we got back from picture-in-picture. And you have Lio Rush just showing the heck off and letting everybody know, this is who the hell I am. This is why I'm the man of the hour. I'm so smooth. You guys should be scared of how smooth I am.
I'm wondering if he had a resurgence in his for himself, like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, like, oh, maybe I should reevaluate, you know, and get back into it because this is somebody I had not seen. Granted, I was not an avid watcher when he was at WWE. I maybe saw him a few times, and mostly when he was Bobby Lashley's
mouthpiece. Yeah.
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 My second like was him. Just him. The way he would go down to miss a kick was like a kick to the side and would lower his center of gravity instead of, you know, bending over and doing what he like kicks to the side so that he's lowered to the ground, like capoeira style.
Yes.
And like he dances in there.
It's very smooth.
It was.
You've got someone trying to clothesline him and he sells it as if he's going to take the clothesline, but he ducks it completely and you see him duck it.
Yeah.
And then he comes right back with a sidekick.
Yeah.
It is some of the smoothest wrestling. Honestly, that was with Lio Rush just showing how smooth he is in the ring and why he is or has always said he is what he is, which is just amazing.
And he kept character. Like he was in the ring doing his thing, like, look at me wrestle. And then he was like, oh, I am the master of this tag team. So this is what I want you to do. And he would start to like direct what they were going to do next through the whole match for him and Dante.
Amazing. He's amazing. And he will understand why people talk about him.
I love storytelling.
Oh, Lio Rush is great. Lio Rush is great. But Lee Moriarty, you see the local guys here in Indianapolis, they know him from the indie wrestling loop, like, and I don't mean indie meaning Indianapolis, but independent.
Mm-hmm.
He's been through there before. And there's people in the audience chanting for him for his Ring of Honor chant. And Lee Moriarty gets respect. Mm-hmm. He is a talented wrestler and he deserves respect. My third like, honestly, I ran out of patience to try and take notes and still watch the match. I got annoyed with myself. So my last note for likes on this was everything. Everything else was what I liked. There was no part of this match. Matt Sydal, who we've ignored so far, let me say, was the greatest foil you could have in this match.
Yeah.
Everything he was up against, he played perfectly when he was winning, when he was down. Every part of it, you could believe Matt Sydal belonged right here. Nothing ran by him. He was the high flyer of the Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal tag team. But he was still super technically talented. He was definitely the ringmaster of his team. Lee Moriarty was this strong technical wrestler that just brought this. There were so many great dynamics. I swear I would like both sides to have bigger factions and have Matt Sydal versus Lio Rush for the next year wrestle forever.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, that's it. That's how I feel.
I agree. Everybody had their part. And everybody played it to perfection. So my third like is I took something that I've said before. When I saw him do it again, I have to point out Dante Martin jumps over Lee Moriarty, and it's like to avoid something, and he does a float over. It's as if he's in slow-mo. I don't know how he does it. He just pops up and just, it's a bloop.
No, it is as if gravity just stops working for a half second so that he can get into these positions, which don't.
It doesn't make sense.
Now, there are only a few guys in all of pro wrestling that do it like that. Dante Martin. Don't get me wrong. Matt Sydal, when he was a little younger, he looks a little bit more. His pops look a little more aggressive, more rigid now. But Dante Martin and another person right now that looks like that is Pac. Those are the only guys.
No, Pac is faster. Like, Pac is like, did I blink? Did I miss it? Like,
right. Exactly.
It was just.
Again, but with Pac, all the different motions. And I'm telling you, Leo Rush is on that level. It's going to be wonderful to watch this group of high flyers sort of work with each other. And wait until the Young Bucks get to actually do more of their high flying stuff.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been there because they've been playing this heel character for almost a year now. So it's going to be very fun to watch that. Again, loved it. Great match.
It was great. And the audience agrees because they were doing "This is awesome" chants. And they did the AEW chants, like, thank you so much for existing because this was
exactly
awesome.
We agree. They didn't know what else to say except for you guys gave us really good wrestling just now. Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens next. What happened?
Oh, don't forget my boy.
Oh, my goodness. I apologize. This is something I forgot. So I'm going to go ahead and own it. I've done this twice now, but I'm owning it. Please don't be mad at me. We got a promo from Miro.
Oh, man.
I cannot even do it justice because I cannot even tell you all of the great things that he said in this promo. It's as if they're evolving upwards. They don't get – there's nothing bad about his promo. Nothing. It's a narrative and a mythology, and I said this before. He builds this mythology, and it's even better now.
Yeah, he started off, though, talking to Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
And then he started talking about his God. And then he brought it back to Bryan Danielson again.
Correct. He started it out by saying that Bryan Danielson, you know, you mean so much to so many.
You mean everything to some, but to me, you mean nothing.
Right. He's just a body standing in the way of him and his wife. That is.
Yeah.
This is a very interesting mythology that he cannot be with her unless he's a champion. It's a very interesting mythology.
Yeah. So at the end, he's like, his God is staying away from him because he's feared. He fears Miro. And he's like, and you should fear me too. And he's talking to Bryan Danielson.
It was really just great work. Yeah. Just great promo work.
And you have to say goodbye to your wife so that I can say hello to mine.
Yes, that's the very last line, which is amazing. He said something about you've said that you came to AEW to feel alive, but you're standing in front of a man with a scythe. I mean, the imagery is he's calling himself death. It's awesome. I apologize for almost skipping this. This was absolutely amazing.
It is. I look forward to these every week.
The only thing that so far that AEW has missed on in the last few weeks is we've got a lot of Miro, but we have not seen enough of the wrestling legend that is Hook.
Stop it.
If we just saw more Hook.
Stop it.
It's like the cowbell.
No, legit. You need Stop Hook. It.
Honestly, there's nothing I can say. That's a bad joke because in comparison to that, that joke doesn't even fly as well as Miro's promo. Miro could take 10 seconds and say something and I'd be like, yep, okay, everything I got's done.
I'm just going to finish this off by saying exactly what I say every week that Miro has a promo. If you are not watching AEW and you are by chance listening to this podcast, because I know a couple of our friends listen to it because they're our friends and we love them.
Thank you.
But they don't watch AEW. Watch Miro's promos.
Find them on YouTube.
Find them and watch them. They are so awesome.
And they're funny. If you think that wrestling is silly, then this is going to sound silly to you. And you're going to wonder why this guy is so incredibly intense. And you're going to fall in love with it. Pro wrestling is the world's greatest show.
Yeah, it was great.
It is legitimately, I think John Oliver said it best, this is why wrestling is better than everything else that you like. We're going to see what happens next, and we're going to get back to you guys. Thank you.
Well, I wasn't really looking forward to this match.
Well,
because, I mean, I love Pac, right? Because who doesn't? But I don't know if it's going to be a popular opinion or not. I don't like Dax. I don't like FTR.
They're heels.
I don't like watching them. I can watch heels and still like them.
You're a new school wrestling fan. The old school wrestling stuff doesn't work for you?
I don't know if that's it either. I don't know what it is. I wasn't excited. So
okay.
My first like is that this match was so good. I actually appreciated his wrestling.
Yeah, you see, what I think most people miss about FTR is how really good they are, how talented as wrestlers they are. My first like is the beginning of the match where Pac and Dax go through, and I apologize, we didn't really banner this. This match was Pac versus Dax of FTR.
That was my bad. I apologize.
It's quite all right. Doesn't matter.
I was just in shock.
That you liked it.
That I liked him.
Right. And that's the point, is that really good wrestlers can get you to appreciate the match, whether you like them or not. That it was a classic wrestling exchange, which is my first like. You have the classic headlock, the takeover, a headlock reversal to a sweep, to a headlock. It was amazing. Classic wrestling, which got the fans to chant, "This is wrestling."
Yeah.
That's a classic exchange. You learn that exchange. It's probably your first week in wrestling. You learn that exchange. They make it look like there's something to it and someone could get beat off of it. That's how good they are.
Yeah. I didn't really get into Dax's wrestling till the end, and I appreciated the whole thing. So that's why I made it my first like, because I wanted to explain that it was just the whole picture. But in the beginning, so my second like would be the wall that is Pac. Like in the very beginning, every time Dax would like hit him or try to do a clothesline or whatever, I'd be like, nah, son, nah. Look at me.
Yeah. And you know what? And he's not a big man, but when he wrestles like a very big man.
He's sturdy.
Yeah, of course.
Top to bottom. He has that Cobra thing happening, you know, with his muscles in the back that it's like flares out.
Yes.
So he's sturdy.
Yeah. Pac is a sturdy wrestler. Also, the way he moves, you've said it before, he's so fast.
He's so fast.
So when he moves in the ring, it just, yes, the moves are high flyer moves and he jumps up in the air and he does all this stuff, but he's fast. He's fast in a way that other people just aren't.
Yeah. It was great. The exchange between both of them was just, this match was actually difficult for me to pick out the good moments.
Right. I'm going to go ahead and talk about one moment that actually is two moments, but it's two moments in different parts. It's the avalanche spots. Pac has Dax on the top turnbuckle, and he lifts him in what I thought was going to be an avalanche suplex, except it was an avalanche brainbuster. And if a brainbuster is done right, it looks like someone just got dropped on their nugget, and it looks like they're about to die.
Success.
I'm sorry, Pac just made it look like it was a perfect brainbuster delivered from the top turnbuckle. Avalanche brainbuster, in my opinion, finishes matches. This might have been the thing that should have finished the match, but whatever. You got a lot of good wrestling after this, too.
But they sold it that it was such a big move that both of them couldn't move after that.
Yeah, they couldn't answer to get into the next thing.
So nobody could pin. So correct. That's why it didn't win.
Correct. Which was amazing.
Right.
Then later on, you had a response to that avalanche move where Dax gets Pac up on the top turnbuckle, puts him up, and then does an avalanche backslam or backside slam. It just looked, and this is a move that's done on avalanche a lot more than a brainbuster, it looked so devastating. And Dax went for the pin a lot faster than Pac did.
Yeah.
And still couldn't get, it was, I actually thought that could have been the end. I was like, wait, is this the end? It was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah, and that's maybe why I liked Dax by the end of this match, for this match, because everything that Pac did, Dax did too. Like, he countered with his own version of whatever it was. So he, like, held his own.
No, he did. He absolutely did. We agree on that. That was the majority of the match. It was not a one-sided match. It was two people bringing the other person into their style.
Yeah, I can't stress enough how much I thoroughly enjoyed this match, top to bottom. I really had a hard time finding my third thing because it was just so good. So I'm going to give it to the crowd again. I loved the chant, "This is wrestling." Then it went to "This is awesome." And then it was the AEW chant again throughout the match. Like,
and they got another "This is awesome" chant, which was really, really good.
Yeah. It was nice to see or to hear the audience was where we were.
Exactly.
So it translates on us. Right. It translates on TV as well as it's translating in real life. And I love when that happens.
You know what? Adelaide, I love the way you describe things.
Yeah.
It translates. It reads perfectly on TV. And then in live, you can just imagine how much fun the people in the audience are having.
Right.
It's great. So my third like is absolutely the finish when Pac sees the opportunity and immediately goes for the holdy
thingy.
His hold, which it's honestly to the Rings of Saturn, but he calls it the, I cannot believe I've forgotten the name of this move. Well, bad fan me. Moving on.
Holdy thingy.
So is it the neutralizer?
It doesn't matter.
Regardless, it doesn't matter. Pac puts him in his finisher, and immediately Dax is like, yes, 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 I'm tapping out. Yes, please. And then he's just lightly tapping Pac's head like, please let me go. And Pac does not want to let him go. Cash comes in, gets the save, hits Pac. And then while Cash and Dax are beating up Pac, the lights go out. And everybody sort of like goes, whoa. And I thought, and I said it, interesting if there's a lights out spot and the Lucha Brothers show up. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
And I said, are you crazy? It's House of Black.
And then the lights came back on and, well, it was
the House of Black with Andrade.
With Andrade. So Andrade and Malakai Black come out and then just continue to beat up Pac. The Lucha Brothers come out. Cody comes out from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And they all just chase those guys out.
Right.
It's a fun little faction spot. And I think that if they add a fifth member each, we might get a one match beyond type situation or a blood and guts match with two new factions with Cody in it. I think it would be great to watch that.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. In fact, please give me that.
So that was good. I like that.
All right. So we're going to see what's next, which we know what it is. It's the main event segment, which is going to be a contract signing. So let's see what happens. And then we'll get back and let you know. Adelaide, normally we want to give the main event its own little run, but they snuck in a little promo before the main event. The video promo, MJF versus Darby Allin.
Right. They kind of just went over the history of their relationship.
And talking about the four pillars of AEW, Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, MJF.
The homegrown AEW boys.
Right. And MJF in one segment, and I know it was just cut in from another interview, but he says, the four pillars are canon now. So it's true. By saying it first before anybody else said it, he has officially cemented that he considers those four people, including himself, the top four young talent in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other guys, Lee Johnson, Kip Sabian, other guys that are homegrown, that are super talented.
Yeah.
Allen Angel, Wardlow, guys who could be considered these pillars. But MJF put these four first. So now that's it. That's the name. Those are the guys. They're going to be one of the four pillars for AEW from now on. And that's the way it'll be.
Sure.
Well, that's the way canon works. Like you said first, that's the way it is. So I appreciate that that's what they did. I don't know that that's accurate, but I do like these wrestlers. I think that they are going to work out.
I really do like what AEW did with each of these bigger matches, these storylines that have been told for the last couple of months, where they just kind of summed it all up. And even with the Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, I know it hasn't been a couple of months, but then they made it feel like it has been because it was so intense.
Right. It's got history on top of it.
Yeah. So it, going into Full Gear, it was like, hey, just a reminder, this is why you want to watch.
Right. And then we get the main event contract signing.
Yes.
So we get Hangman Page comes out first.
Yep.
Great chance of cowboy shit.
Right.
He comes to the table. Tony Schiavone's already in the ring. He announces Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega comes out. Cameraman in the ring. And Tony Schiavone, Adam, Hangman Page, Kenny Omega. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega in a burgundy suit, which I thought looked good.
He did look good. It was well fit. But they did make it a point to let us know that the Dark Order and the Elite were asked to leave the building prior to the signing.
Yes, they were asked, grab your stuff, grab your gear, leave the building, go back to your hotel.
And they showed them leaving.
Which was good.
Yeah.
They give the contract to Hangman Page. Hangman Page signs it, says, look, there's not much left to say. I'm going to beat you on Saturday night to be the AEW champ. That's it.
The faster I sign this, the faster I get to Full Gear to beat your ass.
Yep, and that's it. He signs it. Contract goes back to Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega starts the heel promo.
I wish I was excited like you guys are.
Yeah,
I'm sad. We used to be friends. We used to be partners. But with all your insecurities and your failures, it was always us that put you back up on that horse. You are not the cowboy.
Yeah, you talk about the cowboy spirit. And, mm-hmm. you fall off the horse, you get back up in the saddle. We're always the ones that every time you fell down, we picked you up.
Right.
And put you back in the saddle and sent you back out there for what we thought everybody needed. More of you because you were good.
Right.
Except you weren't.
Right.
I'm disappointed.
Right. So then it was Hangman Page's turn to say, you never told me the truth. You always told me lies. Everything you've ever said to me has been a lie.
He did the tag team partner first before he said the lie thing.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He hinted at Kota Ibushi. He says, I remember that you had another tag team partner that maybe you didn't measure up to before, too. And the audience, which is a bunch, 90% hardcore fans, all went, oh, I can't believe you mentioned Kota Ibushi. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then he was like, you told me nothing but lies. You're trying to tear me down. And you did it because you're afraid of me. It may be because you wanted to push me away because you didn't want to feel another pain of loss, which is referencing his old tag team partner.
Correct.
And then essentially what he was saying is you didn't help me back up on that saddle. You held me down. Like you kept me from my greatness.
And Adam Page was saying that, you became great because you lost.
Right.
And you got better. But you wanted to keep me from getting those big pains so that I couldn't get better.
Right.
Because I'm going to beat you at Full Gear. I'm going to become the AEW World Champion. And I'm going to do that on Saturday. And Kenny said, I'm proud of you. You're right. Good job, Hangman. Let me shake your hand. Now, this is a classic heel thing. And I think anybody who's ever watched a contract signing at wrestling knows you don't shake the hand of the guy you're about to go up against on a contract signing. You just don't do it. But Hangman did. They shook hands. Kenny said, all right, Hangman, I'll see you Saturday. And goes and walks out of the ring.
I'm proud of you.
Oh, yeah. He does say, I'm proud of you. After he said he was disappointed. So this is a 3-minute turnaround. A 1.5-minute turnaround.
Yeah.
But the interesting part is Kenny hasn't signed the contract. I immediately said, wait, he hasn't signed the contract. And as Tony Schiavone's like, hey, the contract. Hangman Page gets clobbered by the camera. Held by the cameraman. Then Kenny comes back in and talks trash as the cameraman takes off his face mask, takes off his fake mustache and goatee, which isn't necessary with the face mask, to see that it was Don Callis all along.
Mm-hmm.
Who said he has been hiding for the last 6 weeks, so everybody forgot he was here.
Yeah, and then he stole a line from Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to tell the world he didn't exist.
Right.
He paraphrased it so that he could do the forget that he existed thing. Yeah. But whatever, it doesn't matter. He still... Oh, by the way, spoilers for, Usual Suspects.
That was not a spoiler.
So that's how that ended. Kenny Omega gets blood off of Hangman's head, who's been cut open, and signs the contract in blood, in Hangman Page's blood.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Hangman Adam Page wins Full Gear.
I still think he loses, but you know what? It's going to be a really, really fun match. All right, so we'll be back for our closing thoughts.
Do you want to just do closing thoughts?
You want to just do it now?
Yeah.
It was a contract signing.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, it's a little different with no match.
Yeah, just it is so different with signing. No match. I'm going to say that the whole show, the wrestling is what I like the most. Just pure, beautiful wrestling. A little bit of a step back in the women's match. And I think you said it best, Adelaide, when you said that the individuals maybe didn't have the enough experience to realize the multi-person match element and how to handle it.
Mm. The more they get out there and wrestle, the more they're going to learn. So
right.
We're just going to have to suffer through the growing pains to get the really good matches out of a lot of these women wrestlers. And it's not their fault.
No, really, it is a lack of experience, and experience only comes from doing. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. It is unfortunate, but yeah, it's what we're going to live through.
Yeah, but it was entertaining. I'm not complaining. I enjoyed the match.
It did not lack for entertainment, no.
Yeah. My favorite part, Miro.
Miro was your favorite part.
I love his promos. No, I think my favorite was Lio Rush, Dante Martin match. I wasn't expecting Lio Rush being so good. I knew he was good. I just didn't understand.
I think Bryan Danielson, Rocky Romero,
really?
Was probably my favorite, just how they opened the show, because it was just, it's what I expected, just really good, hard-hitting, technical wrestlers. I got everything I wanted out of this show. I got my high-flying in the middle. I got my technical in the beginning and then the end. It is fun. It's so much fun. What I didn't get is a more classic wrestling match, but I think we'll probably get that at Full Gear. We'll probably get a couple of those in Full Gear.
Oh, I don't know. I thought there was classic within each match.
Oh, yeah,
to
absolutely.
To be honest. So you kind of got it sprinkled. I'm going to go back to my presentation of like a meal. I think this was a good meal. And it's hard to say what was my favorite or best part about it. I just had a couple of perfect bites from a really good meal.
Yeah, you know what? I like the way you described it. That was good. Someone should write.
I'll try.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, just see what you think.
Yeah.
It was a very good, good go-home episode.
It was.
Have they had more intense episodes? Absolutely. But you know what? When you have a pay-per-view coming up along the corner, you want to take it easy.
Not to mention the one-hour Rampage the night before.
Exactly, which is sort of like a pre-show.
Right.
Which I can't wait for that either. This is going to be a great week of wrestling for me, for us. Now, in closing, man, just we've gotten more feedback. We've gotten more listens. People are starting to maybe pay more attention to us, and I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you very, very much for listening. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions or comments or just want to tell us how wonderful or how horrible we are, please feel free to email us at wwlpodcast@gmail.com. If you are looking for something to do between your AEW shows, feel free to look up my books on www.adelaidelaurie.com for a couple of good reads to keep your time throughout the week.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks.
I like that.
Thanks.
Keep your time throughout the week. Well, on behalf of Adelaide Laurie, I'm Javier Augusto. This has been We Like What We Like. Thank you again.
Thank you, and happy birthday, Mommy Adelaide.
Happy birthday, Mommy Adelaide.
Yay!